something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah! We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
Are we headed for a recovery? That's the question. Are we headed for a recovery? Can America come back to being the greatest country in the history of the world? The answer probably is maybe, because the problem is this. The problem is that there are still a lot of stupid people. As many as half of the people in this country are still stupid. And that's proof of Governor Murphy being reelected in New Jersey. Now, some people say, but they got slaughtered. They got slaughtered. Mike Jones, welcome to the show. Your thoughts on what's been going on over the last couple of days?
Well, it is interesting. I will say that I do believe that they got slaughtered in terms of what would have happened had we not had the impact of all these woke policy for the past couple of years.
Hold on. You know what you're doing? You're buying into this whole lie about critical race theory being taught in schools, Mike.
Yes, come on. Well, listen, hey, I don't care what they call it. They're teaching children to consider themselves to be inferior because of the color of their skin, or they're teaching you to hate other people based on the color of their skin. And I don't care what you call that. I don't want my kids being taught that. And that was the reaction that was had. I have some, I'm sort of doubtful on the New Jersey thing. I knew as soon as any state puts a hold on results, I know that they're in the back room, you know, messing around as fast as they can to tweak things in their own favor. And I assumed that that would end up as it did. As soon as it came out, oh, it's too close to call. Well, I know where that's going, because as soon as they're done counting all of the normal ballots, then they go to the mail-in stuff. And that has been known to be stacked heavily in favor of Democrats.
Well, I do hope that there is a recount. I hope that there is vote accountability. As a matter of fact, DeSantis in Florida has just proposed a law for vote accountability. And here it is. Red wave is building. People are rebelling against what the Democratic Party stands for. And he is doing something very important. And it needs to be done in every state, which is find a way to make sure that the count is accurate. And I don't understand how that could not be the case already, because apparently it didn't matter in the last presidential election. But here's another thing. Another thing that's happening is that the Democrats are being forced to go look in the mirror and ask themselves, how far left can we go? Now, Joe Manchin, who and him and Kyrsten Sinema are two people that are keeping us. This is the thin line between total communism and the America that we've known.
They seem quite prescient.
Yes,
they seem quite prescient now.
Go too far left. This is not a center left or left country, he said on CNN's New Day this morning. So Joe Manchin says we cannot go too far left, and I think he understands that. And I think a lot of Democrats are asking themselves, how far left can we go? But here's the other problem. The problem is that we have many of those people that call themselves Democrats in a state of total denial. Now, from the View, I have some audio. Sonny Hostin basically is saying that the women that voted for Glenn Youngkin are white women that pretend slavery did not happen, but it doesn't get there until the last clip. But I want you to hear the argument that's going on The View, clip one.
to stay a little more distant.
Well, they certainly tried. Biden uttered his name like 25 times in a 10-minute speech, and it still didn't stick.
I actually think it did stick, and I actually think that Trump was very present. I think he made a lot of phone calls for Youngkin, and I think that Youngkin was careful not to mention Trump by name, but he was Trump all in. And if you look at the exit polls, 57% actually of white women voted for Youngkin, much like 55% of white women voted for Trump over Hillary Clinton. And what they said during the exit polls was that CRT was their most pressing issue.
33% said the economy.
Yeah, and but 57% is a lot more than 33%.
Those women, but not of total voters.
And I think what's interesting is that, Democrats are not good with the messaging that CRT is fake.
It doesn't exist in the school system. It's in law schools.
Of course it doesn't.
George Simpson in the background. Oh, it doesn't exist in the school system. Oh. Yes. Was that Marge Simpson? I think it was.
That is just so silly because everybody knows, as I just got done saying, everybody knows because their children have come home with the homework. They have seen the Zoom classes where the teachers are teaching this stuff to their kids. So they have firsthand knowledge. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether it's CRT or diversity, equity, inclusion. It doesn't matter what you call it. It is what it is. And people don't like it. You know, this interesting thing, I think that Trump is the cause of a lot of this because Trump was so effective and he said that he was going to go after the people who are the cabal in charge of things, the deep state, as it were, or the swamp, they felt like we need to start double timing. And normally liberals have been very good at being slow and incremental and slow. You know, we would have woken up one morning and all of a sudden we're communist. But Donald Trump forced them to put their plans in double time. And that woke people up. That when all of a sudden, you know, it was too much of a shock. You're moving too fast. And so we can thank Trump, really, for people waking up right now.
Yeah, but here's one thing. Listen, Sonny Hostin said that the Democrats are not good at messaging. What? What? On CRT in particular. And the problem, though, is that all of this garbage has been taught to the kids. I mean, I remember back when I was in high school, they started changing everything and making it more about getting us used to the idea of social programs. In other words, it was the soft sell of communism at least 30 or 40 or 50 years ago it started.
Sure. Sure.
And yeah, so all of this stuff has been sort of progressively being introduced into the classroom. And, you know, the basic principles that made America great have been systematically removed. Now, in the next clip, Goopy Woldberg, I'm sorry, did I say Goopy? I can't even say it. Whoopi Goldberg screeches out a few things. Go ahead and play clip two.
And listen, if people want to know what is being taught in your school, go over to the school. Get an idea of the curriculum because they will give it to you. They will show you anything you want to know.
People were watching their kids online throughout the pandemic and they heard a lot of this and they recorded a lot of this. It may not be exactly what CRT is, but there is a lot of racialized
yes.
teaching.
Well,
I'm not talking about teaching slavery.
No,
that's
you do
fine.
Remember
that's
what
good.
You remember what happened during the pandemic. If I'm, mm-hmm. I think George Floyd mm-hmm. happened during the pandemic.
In yeah. my hometown,
and that's what, and yeah. that's why people were talking yeah. about
there was a racial
race. There was a whole
that's
bunch
right.
of stuff it's, going on.
I hate to break it to you, with two young kids in school, but it's been going on since long before George.
Of course it has. The nonsense has been going on. So when we come back, I got one more, and that is of the vampire Sonny Hostin. She's not mm-hmm. human anymore. She looks at you with those vampire eyes, and you sort of get that lock.
Well, you know? That gal who you heard in part of that clip is the new token conservative.
Yeah, I know.
You know, replacement for Meghan McCain. She's actually quite good.
She is. She's actually not afraid to stand up and push back. And I think that's actually setting a new standard for people. See, Meghan McCain was bullied for a long time, and even though when she stood up, she wasn't as effective because everybody said, that's just Meghan McCain. Now, this new gal has got some gumption. All right, we'll continue this when we come back with Mike Jones. It's Perilous World Radio, david@fhu.com. Alan is out on a mission, and Mike is helping me deconstruct the left today. We'll be right back with more.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online, on your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
There is no escaping the challenges of life. Everyone has to learn how to deal with stress. The bottom line is this: if you don't control stress, stress will control you. Go to FHU.com. That's www.fhu.com. And find out how you can control stress.
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Visit www.fhu.com. Learn a simple technique that will change the way you deal with stress. For more information, call 1-800-877-3227 or visit fhu.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
I hate to break it to you that most schools that I'm aware of have tried to teach the history of how this country has gone.
Absolutely.
On.
And it should. Good, bad, and ugly,
right.
It should.
And you cannot put it in a different name. You can't pretend we didn't go through this. So during the pandemic...
No one is pretending that, though. No one's pretending. But no one is pretending. My second grade report was on slavery and the abolition of slavery. I mean, it's being taught to my kids. No one is pretending it didn't happen. In fact, I think when we whitewash history by getting rid of certain names and statues and people and Laura Ingalls Wilder references, then we forget.
We need to learn. The 57% of white women that voted for Youngkin do want to pretend that it didn't happen and they don't want their white children to...
I wouldn't suspect that of those women. That's not good.
Hold on.
That's not good.
We'll be right back.
Well, there you go. White women. Them white women. It reminds me of, where are the white women? You know, well, the white women are the women who seem to be the ones that have to stand up, because if they don't, they know they'll lose their kids, Mike. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree, basically. I think, you know what, white women have been shown to be easy targets for the left. I don't want to insult all white women by this, you know, but it seems they have wanted to be accepted. And I mean, it's shown in statistics that basically single white women or single women, period, will vote more liberal. They get married. They take on the politics of their husband, not in all cases, but in many cases. And so they're being influenced by them. And I suspect that they think that that's a weaker target. Boy, here comes the hate mail.
Wait a minute.
That's what
Hold
I
on.
Think.
You mean what weaker target? What do you mean? Just explain it.
I think that in this particular case, white women, they've spent a lot of time developing this white guilt. And white women are more susceptible to it, certainly, than white men are. And so it's natural that they would attack them for, you know, having voted wrongly in this election and go, yeah, see, this is very clear that you're a racist and you need to make good for that by coming back around in 22 or something.
But do you really think that is going to have any real effect on people? I mean, you know, I think that women in particular have the gumption and literally will double down when somebody starts to go after them. I don't see women as being compliant, honestly. I think women, okay, by and large, are the ones who actually are feel that they're in a position that they have to make certain decisions that some men just don't want to make. And so if you want to talk about why women are standing up, I think it's because too few men will stand up and risk their jobs and their, you know.
Yes, that may be the case. I think that they're on the front lines in terms of experiencing what school boards are doing, because they're the main attendees, you know, as opposed to the fathers. And so I would imagine that they are taking it more seriously, but that doesn't apply across the board. I mean, statistics basically show this, that, and I can see how they could be manipulated and making them feel guilty about succumbing to Donald Trump or whatever, or however they're trying to connect it. However, I also believe that they push people too far. And once you push somebody too far, there's not a whole lot of getting them back after that. You know, once my wife closes the door on somebody, that's it. They're dead, basically.
Well, yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I believe that the women are the ones who bear the burden of dealing with the children more so than I think men do, although I think that the roles have changed quite a bit. But I really do believe that women can see the truth also about other women, okay? Mm. And I think they see the truth about these women on The View, for one thing. Second of all, they see the truth about men more quickly than other men do, because they are constantly scanning their environment and having to make decisions about whether or not they can trust somebody. See, and people that don't worry about trusting other people, those are the ones that are easy to take advantage of. People that say, you know, like, you know, the famous words, trust me. You know, I have your best interest at heart.
Yes.
Women know that when somebody's lying, immediately, what was that great? There was a great scene in a movie. It was a Tom Cruise movie where he was a bartender. Cocktail. They were sitting at the bar, and one woman just started picking out the men. Loser, alcoholic, womanizer. I mean, they just can take one look at men and other women and just, boom, identify right on the spot, you know, what the characteristics of that person are. And so, yes, I think it's damn well time that women started standing up and having their voices heard. I think it's so important. I mean, how is it that women haven't done that is what I want to know before now, because they've known what's going on with their kids. Maybe we are at the end of the age of total self-indulgence. Let's put it that way. The end of total self-indulgence. And because I think women and moms especially don't want their kids to be turned into the walking dead, the zombies that they see coming out of the woke movement. What do you think?
Yeah, I would hope that that's the truth, but I think that in the past, it has been a hip thing to be woke, and they have been susceptible to that. But I think now we are seeing it, wokeness, that rubber meeting the road, and the results of it are undesirable. And so I think that they're seeing that, and more so. And we're going to get some results from that, hopefully.
Now, I think you're right. By the way, the new person on The View, her name is Michelle Tafoya. And here's a headline. This is from yesterday, I think it is, or the day before. Michelle Tafoya wreaks havoc on The View after defending anti-vaxxers and ripping critical race theory. So thank you, Michelle Tafoya, for standing up for great Americans on The View. Thank you very much. I think people should write her and encourage her. And, you know, we need more people like Michelle Tafoya standing up to people like Goopy Goldberg. I keep saying it. Whoopi Goldberg. Although I think Goopy is actually a better name for her. Anyway, Mike Jones, David Masters, Perilous World Radio, David at FHU.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
This wicked tongue says God is a million miles away. This wicked tongue says he can't see my day to day.
He's about the power of whites. We've seen him dog whistling.
This wicked tongue says go on, taste everything.
He's tossing red meat to his clan-like base that he needs so desperately.
And this wicked tongue says, you know, you're not really living.
He says, and oh, by the way, you're not black. You are a spiritual being created in my image and after my likeness.
We're not human beings having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings having human experiences.
Do not say that to me again.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
For 364 days a year, these people who run all these major corporations and the media and a lot of government, all the far left people, they spend their time using their power to tell us what to think, what we're allowed to say, what we're allowed to do. But there's one day every year or every 2 years where the normal people get to speak, and that's called Election Day. And that's what you saw yesterday. It's parents who, during...
By the way, where normal people get to speak, not the elected officials and not the people on TV and radio, right? I agree with you.
Yeah, but that's the dividing line in politics today. The dividing line isn't even left to right anymore. It's crazy versus normal. It's these people that run our school systems and so forth, and parents who during the pandemic for the first time got to see what their kids were learning because they were learning from home, and they're like, "You're learning what?"
Oh, those teachers must be kicking themselves right now because they thought that they could just sort of, you know, get on a computer screen and, you know, do their useless teaching that they do and put out their critical race garbage and all the woke crap that they've got into the curriculum now. And sure enough, parents started paying attention. Thank God. But, you know, the political divide is between crazy versus normal. And sadly, Mike, at least 50% of the people, maybe 49%, maybe the shift is happening. But in the state of, let's say, New Jersey, and in California, it's even worse, but the crazy, the stupid, crazy people are still making... I did this segment yesterday where I talked about what the Bible says about the dog returning to its vomit. The fool returns to his folly like the dog returning to his own vomit. They keep doing and licking up the vomit of the left. time after time, they have not learned a thing. Your thoughts on that?
That's pretty much what I think. You know, I think that parents were not paying attention for a very long time. You know, despite the fact that their kids were being taught this stuff live and in person, they weren't there for it. They didn't see the teacher mouthing the words, and they probably didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the homework that they were bringing home, if they were bringing home homework that had to do with race and things of that nature. So yeah. Now, you know, but people are waking up. And then when somebody wakes up and says, "Hey, Susie, did you see what they're teaching our kids in school?" Then all of a sudden you're recruiting people to the cause, and you had a bunch of sleeping people before, and now you've got a bunch of awake people, and the number of sleeping people is diminishing, and they don't know what to do with that. It seems that the pandemic worked very well for them implementing a lot of woke policy, but it backfired in this particular case, and maybe that's going to save us. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I wonder, and I know that there are times, you know, when you catch somebody doing something wrong, especially something stupid, there's a moment of truth that can occur. I call it an event horizon, where a person can actually say, "You know what? You're right. That was bad. I was bad. I did the wrong thing." Or what they do is they triple and quadruple down. And then what comes up is a pushback from hell.
Mm.
The words. Right. And yeah,
this is
ahead.
Democrats now.
Absolutely it is.
Their impression of why they lost the election, this absurd idea that, well, we didn't get bill passed quick enough. Had we passed that through the House a little bit quicker, they wouldn't have replaced the governor. What does the governor have to do with what legislation is now in the House and how quickly they're dealing with that? These people are in denial. I personally think they know what's going on. They just can't talk about it.
When you say that, what do you mean? Because it sounds cryptic to me. When they know what's going on, but they can't talk about it, which is that they're losing?
Oh, yeah, that woke policy is a failure. You know,
but not only is it a failure, but it's what it is that it's been exposed for what it really is.
Right.
And what they're doing is they're tripling down on insanity. They're tripling down.
Exactly.
And so the talking
Which
points,
is not going to bode well for them in 22.
Oh, no. It won't. And so on that note, let's go ahead and play clip 5, because Gutfeld lays it out beautifully. And there's some clips in there that show exactly what we're talking about. Go ahead.
But what an amazing message sent by American voters. By now you've heard the explanations. Parents had enough of destructive racist wokeism, the involuntary indoctrination of their kids, the ideological robotic brainwash forced in all facets of their lives. Not to mention Terry McAuliffe's robotic dancing.
Mm.
Someone please check Terry's medications. He has moves like Jagger if Mick were having a series of strokes. He makes Al Gore look like Jennifer Lopez, except instead of having a big ass, he is one. But thankfully, parents were basically the opposite of Brian Stelter at a buffet. They were people who had enough. They were like Harrison Ford in the movie Witness, a cop undercover as a pacifist Amish farmer, only to be taunted repeatedly by a guy who goes one step too far.
Aw. You're making a mistake.
Hey.
Ooh.
Hey.
Boo.
Okay, so there's some punks in the town. Did you see that movie? It was a great movie,
no.
By the way. The Witness, he is an Amish guy. He's a detective. He's trying to figure out what's happening in this town. I think a young girl has been raped and murdered. But anyway, these punks confront Harrison Ford in the town, and one of the guys flips his hat off his head, and they're all mocking him, and he's just had enough, and he just gut punches the guy. Boom, boom, boom. That's exactly what's happening with parents. Parents have had enough. They're just done with sitting back and being told that because they're white, they're crazy and evil. That's not going to go on anymore. That's not going to play well anywhere in America. And by the way, I think most black people, and by the way, Latinos, 57% of them voted for Youngkin in Virginia. The race card no longer it does anything but cause violent reactions from people who don't want to be on the card. They're sick of it. And by the way, the punch doesn't have to be an actual gut punch, although the psychological gut punch is, no, this is it. I'm done. This is over. And boom, they vote and they destroy these people with their vote. Okay? Let's go to the next Gutfeld. Do you like what you hear so far, Mike?
I think that Hispanics know that they are next on the racist target list.
Oh, sure.
Many of them have been referred to as white adjacent or white Hispanics or, you know, I mean, it's they are the next ones in line. And it won't matter whether you're a beneficiary of this or not. Everybody loses at the end of this one.
Let me tell you something about that. I have Hispanic people that moved in next door to me, and I got to tell you, I would populate my entire neighborhood with people like this. They are the most conscientious. They're the nicest people. They have three kids. The kids are polite. They get out there and they mow the lawn. They take out the trash. In other words, the dad doesn't have to wrangle with the kids. They're respectful towards their parents. I want a neighborhood full of people like this because they're just like me. I love these people. If you need something, they're right there to help you with it. That's, to me, that's what America stands for. So you're right about that. They're white adjacent. Yeah, they're adjacent to me, and I'm very white. Okay, let's play the next clip of Gutfeld. It gets even better. Go ahead.
That was America doing the punching, and that guy being punched, everything woke that's been shoved down our throats. But my favorite part of last night, other than the magic mushrooms and the Merlot, the joy from watching that incoherent word regurgitator over at MSNBC collapse into a heap of nonsensical verbal puke.
I watched Glenn Youngkin's interviews on Fox News, and he did nothing that clears. He did not. I mean, he worshipped at the altar of Donald Trump on Fox News. He flew an insurrection flag at his rallies. He simply didn't. He played dumb about a Zoom rally. He did not really put much distance between himself and Donald Trump on the big lie or the deadly insurrection in which police officers were maimed by flagpoles. So I think that the real ominous thing is that critical race theory, which isn't real, turned the suburbs 15 points.
Oh, wow. Yeah. CRT isn't real. And weapons of mass destruction was.
You know, police were bludgeoned by flagpoles. Come on, Nicole Wallace.
What an idiot.
But you know what?
This guy was in G.W. Bush's administration.
I know.
Isn't this amazing?
I think there was more money working for the devil.
So was Anna Navarro, by the way.
I know. But, you know, there's more money working for the devil. The perks are better. Not the perps. The perks are better working for the devil, but...
The perps
CRT,
might be better, too. Who knows?
Yeah, no kidding. The perps are better. The CRT isn't real, you see? And so that's the doubling down on idiocracy. That's the tripling, quadrupling down on stupid. And because they only have so many talking points, and of course they have to all associate it with what? The big T. Mr. T. The real Mr. T. No, Mr. T has replaced Q as the background man. He is the guy. QAnon... He was fine for a while. He did all kinds of clandestine things. But Trump, he does it so skillfully with just being there. He doesn't even have to do anything. Trump is the boogeyman. He's the boogeyman. He scares people in their sleep.
They're running against him because they don't have anything
to
do.
No, they've got nothing. They've got nothing. 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 All right. We got another segment to do. I got more Gutfeld. I got Christiana Amanpour talking to Boris Johnson. I got MGT. I got so much good stuff you don't want to miss this. Stay tuned. More Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
One, eight, four.
at FHU.com. You can change how you react to stress and improve your life with a 7-minute meditation. If you could learn the secret of how to control your responses, how to find that God-given switch in your mind, which would allow you to energize and motivate yourself, you would never again feel conflict, guilt, fear, or depression. If you're willing to be shown how you can become the person you were created to be, allow the foundation of human understanding to introduce you to a simple exercise that will prove to you, through your own experience, that control over yourself without unbearable suppression is not only possible, but vital to your health, to your future happiness, and to your very existence.
What do you see? Surely there's little twinkles of light, different shapes moving across the screen of your mind, is that so? Something magical happens when you observe those little pixels crossing the screen of your mind. It has all different colors, little sparkles. This is programming from within. Just be aware of them, and you will find that you are in a refuge, meaning you can hear my voice, but you've left your thoughts behind. That's very important. This is what's happening.
Here's what people are saying about the 7-minute meditation. Physicians are taught to treat symptoms. These exercises have the capacity to resolve the root of the symptom. Dr. Rick Titus, MD, CCFP. I have observed time and time again, the efficacy of the teachings and practices in people of varying emotional maladies. Dr. Ron Carlson, clinical psychologist. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. It will change your entire life and the way you look at the world you live in. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
How glorious was that implosion? It was like watching Michael Jackson set his own hair on fire. Insurrection flags. No such thing as CRT. She's blurting out talking points like a malfunctioning Stepford wife. If she got any more miserable, she'd be these low-brain dipwads.
This is now, I think, also the Republican playbook, is to use these issues to scare people, basically, a feeling out of control, you know, that everything's out of control with their children and they need to be protected from these people with this demagogues and this agenda, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, let's be clear. Some of it was dog whistle.
Yeah.
Right? Some of it was dog whistle racism.
1,000%.
She took her 2 times to figure it out. So what happened to these two? I mean, McAuliffe might be breakdancing, but these people are broken. It's hilarious. Powers is trying to sell a book called Grace while she sells lies about race. She really should get rid of the G in the title if she's that desperate for relevance.
Oh, yeah. She was the Anthony Weiner girlfriend, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. The one that's selling the book Race. Grace. But here's the funny point is all they've got is a sort of a lunatic reaction. And they're saying that parents are crazy because parents falsely believe that the whole thing has fallen apart, that education has become the enemy. But you see, what they don't want you to know is that education is the only friend the left has got left. The giant machine of the teachers' union. And the teachers that allow themselves to buy into the critical race nonsense and the woke agenda, they are the advocates. They're the Borg. There are good teachers, by the way. There's lots of good teachers. But the lion's share of those teachers are just useless throwaways. They're throwbacks. They're like we used to catch fish called ronkies. You couldn't eat them. They were full of worms and scaly, and that the flesh is no good. Those teachers are the ronkies of the fishing world.
Blech!
Spit them back into the ocean. We never use them. We didn't even use them for bait. Anyway,
speaking of ronkies, what is the insurrection flag that they're referring to?
The insurrection flag was what? Did it have a T and an R and a UMP on it?
Perhaps.
The insurrection flag. It's the best they can do. They have no original ideas.
I keep waiting for somebody to be charged with insurrection. It hasn't happened.
No, because there was no insurrection. It was stupid. And by the way, Tucker's got a great series now on Fox Nation called Patriot Purge.
I haven't seen it, but I may do the trial version of Fox Nation just to
90 days free,
just
man.
To see that.
And here's the thing. All they've got is tripling down on stupid. One more from Gutfeld, please.
As for Brianna, stick to what you do best, eating insects.
Are you ready?
Cheers.
Actually, I'm less scared of this. Okay.
Oh, the crunch.
Do I have a wing hanging out of my mouth?
You should. Yeah, she went from eating cicadas to eating crow. At this rate, she'll be snacking out of Brian Stelter's garbage can. That's not a euphemism. But you see the grift? If you win, it's about racism. If you lose, it's about racism. And for CNN, it boils down to denial. They deny that their obvious bitter loathing for most of America spells their doom. But don't feel bad for these losers. They relied on sex pest scumquats over at the Lincoln Project for commentary, whose despicable hoax of portraying parents as racist blew up in their ugly faces. And now they're the ones in soot-covered blackface. Fact is, the only expertise Lincoln Project has is knowing the best place to watch boys' soccer practice.
Oh, yes, but you know those are a bunch of freak jobs over there at the Lincoln Project. What a bunch of perverts. They are living in the pervert matrix, I'm saying. They can't help themselves because, you know what's interesting? Can you imagine? Now, I'm not going to make a comparison between Christ and Trump, but can you imagine what it must be like to hate Christ? For devil worshipers, for Satanists, hating Christ is a holy sacrament. And what it does is it fuels their sickness, their perversions. It fuels their departure from reality. They have to have something to hate. And if they hate the Son of God, that has deleterious effects on the mind and the soul. But there's really a synonymous deterioration of people's faculties by hating Trump or by hating anybody who has correct conservative, and I'm not saying correct politically, I'm saying accurate and proper conservative views. They hate everybody, and in a sense, hating these people who have conservative views and hold on to religion and cling to their guns and their Bible, like Obama said, it has a deleterious effect on their mind and on their soul. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the two things are similar. I understand not wanting to make a direct comparison there, but there is, you know, and I hate to assign a truth or decency solely to Republicans because, you know, we have our own problems in that department, people who, you know, get elected and then don't execute. But if you hate right, that is going to negatively affect you. Because, you know, you obviously are going to be, your polarity will be switched and you'll be heading in the wrong direction, away from what's right. How can that be good?
I would say it's kind of like people who know that smoking is bad for them, and yet they do it anyway, and they know that cancer kind of looms on the horizon at some point, somewhere down the line. I think hating right is like smoking. And maybe at the back of their minds, they know that there's a spiritual cancer of their soul that will eventually end their lives. And they don't care. All right, we're going to take a quick break for another hour after these messages of Perilous World Radio with David and Mike. David at FHU.com. And my book is called How to Escape the Prison for Your Mind. Lots and lots and lots about this in my book on Amazon.com. We'll be right back with more.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
Congratulations to the voters in Virginia yesterday on your huge win. That was a red wave across the blue state of Virginia, which is no longer blue.
We're going to win.
Now it's a beautiful, gorgeous red. And this is a lesson for Democrats. This is a lesson for Americans.
We're going to win.
Don't mess with people's kids. Parents stood up in Virginia and they stood up saying, don't put the boys in dresses in our girls' bathrooms. Don't force our children to wear masks.
We're going to win.
Don't make our children get vaccinated. And stop dividing our kids, segregating them, and teaching them to be racist. Parents showed a great big lesson to school boards and everyone across this country.
We're going to win.
That they're the ones in charge of their children's education. They're the parents, and they're the ones in charge of schools. Because you know what?
We're going to win.
They are the taxpayers. So congratulations to Virginia voters and congratulations to Americans for standing up and stopping the radical Democrats' horrible agenda in this attack on our children and our freedoms. Let's keep it going all the way into 2022.
We're going to win. I think we're going to win in Virginia.
Yeah, you know, that was subliminal messaging by the left that got a hold of MTG's MG. I like to call her MG, Margaret Green, but MTG's message, and inserted the imperious Biden, you know, the dog-faced pony soldier, JoJo. Yeah. And, you know, here's what's happening, Mike, in America, and that is that there's something that's catching on. A friend of mine sent me a text yesterday. It says, well, the Brandon administration is really failing. And, like, actually, it's changing. I wonder how that reporter feels about what happened. Maybe she's like, yeah, that was me. Or maybe he's like, oh, my God, my career is destroyed.
Yeah.
But here is what's happening across America among young people. Here's a guy who's got he's a heavyset guy with a beautiful cross hanging on his neck. And he's taken up this new Let's Go Brandon rap challenge. But I thought the words were adequately good to go ahead and play the sort of cheesy sounding version of this. But play clip 13 for me.
Let's go Brandon. Let's go Brandon.
Let's go Brandon from Cali to Carolina. Yeah, yeah. Let's go Brandon. They can't make us take that Pfizer. Yeah, yeah. Let's go Brandon. Where the hell is Kamala? Yeah, yeah. Let's go Brandon. Have someone check Joe's diaper. Yeah, yeah. What a joke this administration's turned into. They trying to lock us in like we live in a zoo. Mass mandates they pushing on you. So you know there's only one thing left to do. Yeah, yeah, time to expose old Creepy Joe. He likes sniffing kids and everyone knows. The media covered up his son and they chose. They stole the election right under a nose. Let's go Brandon, stop the steal. The price of gas just can't be real. Build back, brought him on a build back, bro. Part of the plan, stay base now, whoa. Let's go Brandon. Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
You know, the great thing about Let's Go Brandon is that, you know, sort of viral phases are short in nature. But yeah, the thing is that this is going to stay. Every time people perceive an injury that comes from the Biden administration or general woke policy, they're just going to be reminded of Let's Go Brandon. And it's not going to go away. I am willing to bet that next year at this time, they're still going to be saying it.
I think you're right. And, you know, as I said yesterday, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky are inseparably joined now because of the sickness of that whole thing. And I think the Brandon thing is going to stick. And the second component of this Brandon problem that Biden has is that now they're about to give 5 to 12-year-old kids the jab.
Yeah,
and now,
insane.
You have not heard this. I asked you before. Pfizer created an ad, and it is purely, in my opinion, purely evil. So now we're going to play the ad, and then we're going to deconstruct what the reality is. Pfizer ad, please.
Getting ready to fight COVID.
All of
us want to be superheroes. And the most important heroes are those that help others. This year, thousands of kids like us around the world joined the COVID-19 vaccine trial.
Kid power.
And when they did, they became all superheroes. To all the kids who volunteered, we'd like to say...
Thank you!
Thank you!
Thank you for sharing your superpowers of...
Courage, trying new things.
The ability to save people.
The power to help people.
Helping not just yourself, but many other kids.
To not be scared.
Be strong.
Super brave.
Bravery and courage.
A superhero shot.
Helping everybody.
Fight coronavirus and help others.
You're helping the whole entire world.
Thank you. You are all superheroes.
Thank you!
Thank you, superheroes!
Thank you!
You're awesome!
What a wicked, evil thing to do to little children, to make them imagine that because they've got the jab. And by the way, they talk about these kids volunteering. Really, they were volunteered. They were not volunteering. They didn't volunteer.
Course.
They didn't make their own choices. And if they did, their parents are insane. And their parents are insane anyway for letting those kids be guinea pigs. Second of all,
yes,
it's a wicked thing to capitalize on a child's imagination. If you see the ad, you see these kids jumping and, you know, imagining themselves flying. That's evil. That's exactly what the devil would do. This
reminds me of when my son, he was taken for immunizations when he was very small. Yeah. And I got the report from my wife at what happened in the doctor's office. And he was growling and spitting at the doctor, you know, giving him these vaccinations. And, you know, I mean, this is, you know, 25 years ago. But it's just... it's funny because that's so outside of his normal character. He was fighting back in the only way that he knew how. He was powerless. Mm-hmm. His mother wasn't protecting him from this attack, and the doctor was the aggressor. And so you try and take the edge off this. The kids are going to be excited to go get the shot all until they see the needle, and then they're going to realize they've been betrayed. And here's the really insidious part about this. If you look at the statistics of young children in this age group that have died from COVID, it is minuscule. You are going to have far more die from negative reactions to the vaccine than you are from COVID itself.
Yeah. Even the former vice president of Pfizer said that for every child that dies of COVID, 100 will die from vaccines.
Yeah, it is.
Now, and you made an important point, Mike. There's an important distinction to be made here. Clip 17, here's a mom who is fighting for better vaccine injury programs after her daughter's death. But here you will hear that her mom put normal vaccines in the child. Listen to this.
As millions of Americans debate whether to roll up their sleeve for the COVID vaccine, manufacturers are trying to build trust.
You know, that's right. So they're sharing these testing methods and promising to keep politics out of the process. Tonight, Reveal investigator Rebecca Lindstrom exposes efforts by the government, the federal government, that could erode that faith in the system.
If you want to get vaccinated, I certainly think you should have the right.
But don't look for Karen Kane at the pharmacy when the COVID-19 vaccine becomes available. Kane is an anti-vaxxer. Her daughter Lauren lived with daily debilitating seizures for 15 years after receiving a bad DPT vaccine as a newborn.
It was full of mercury. The vaccine destroyed her brain.
Kane will never get what she really wants, her daughter healthy and back in her arms. But through the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, or VICP, she did get reimbursed for medical bills and money to stay home and care for her daughter.
Now wait, because you see, the vaccine manufacturers have complete immunity from prosecution COVID side effects. This is a totally evil thing. It's evil. And when we come back, more on this, because I can't imagine a parent subjecting their child to it. I just can't. I couldn't do it to my kids. I saw those kids. I met kids that had side effects from vaccinations, just normal ones. And I thought, I can never do that. Never. My wife and I both agreed, don't get the kids vaccinated. Give them their natural immunity chance to survive. All right. Mike and David, Perilous World Radio, david@fhu.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
Erica McKenzie died and stood in the presence of her creator, and he showed her something about the power of words. So what did God say to her?
God put the palm of his hand down and appeared in the palm of his hand a huge rock. You are the rock. You are the light. The light is of me, and I am with you. And as he said that, he let go of the rock, and we watched the rock begin to fall together. And finally, it made one big impact that set off one ripple.
Each of us has the power to affect good or bad change in other people. Just like Erica McKenzie experienced what God was telling her about the rippling effect of water, that each human being has an effect on another. And this is why the secret power of words will help you understand your sensitivity to words and the power they hold over you.
And we stood together and we watched as that ripple, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew till I couldn't even see the border of that single ripple. And God said to me, mankind is the water, you are the ripple.
The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters explains why words affect you so deeply and why they don't have to. Words can be confusing and destructive, except for when they are loaded with meaning in order to convey understanding. One person uses words to say the right thing, another person twists the facts. Which one do you believe? What is the truth? Confusing? Yes, but if you have understanding, you will not be confused. If you have objectivity, you can see the intent behind each person's words.
God said, you are the ripple. Your thoughts, words, and actions will affect mankind as the ripple does the water.
Visit FHU.com and order The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
So he's a previously healthy male who gets the Pfizer vaccine. One day later, he develops a temp of 38.3 Celsius, and one day after that, starts getting short of breath, and he has pleuritic chest pain. Pleuritic chest pain meaning it hurts more when he takes a deep breath, or hurts more if you cough or sneeze. So he goes to an urgent care clinic. EKG shows ST segment elevation. ST elevation can mean a lot of different things depending on the clinical context. Sometimes it means there's a heart attack. So back to the 13-year-old boy in Michigan who died 3 days after getting the Pfizer vaccine. According to the patient's aunt on Twitter, the preliminary autopsy report showed that he had fluid around his heart. Now the CDC is investigating this, but there is no official autopsy report.
Oh no, because the CDC, the Centers for Disease Confusion, doesn't want people to understand what potentially is going to happen to them once they get the vax. And again, there are people that can take it and they're just fine. I don't know. Everybody's different. You know, we're all biologically slightly different, even as much as we are the same. One more, which is clip 18. A U.S. Army doctor has to ground 3 out of 6 pilots that she examines. Listen to this.
With respect to aviation safety, risk communication is critical. I saw 5 patients in clinic, 2 of which presented with chest pain days to weeks after vaccination and were subsequently diagnosed with pericarditis and worked up to rule out myocarditis. The 3rd pilot had been vaccinated and felt like he was drunk, chronically fatigued within 24 hours after vaccination. The pilot told me he didn't know what to do, so he drank a lot of coffee to try and, quote, wake himself up and continued to fly until he realized it wasn't going away. After I reported to my command my concerns that in one morning I had to ground 3 out of 3 pilots due to vaccine injuries, the next day my patients were canceled, my charts were pulled for review, and I was told that I would not be seeing acute patients anymore, just healthy pilots there for their flight physical.
Wow. How do they call out the healthy from the so-called unhealthy?
Yeah, I don't know, but that is a really scary report there. Basically, what it means is that, you know, your pilot might die in the middle of flight, despite the possibility that there may have been some warning signs to that, that had they been heeded, would have foregone that conclusion. Now we're going to have a lot of dead people as a result of a pilot dying in the middle of flight and a plane crashing. I mean, this is
Mike,
just insanity.
I think you're overreacting, really. I mean, the importance, you know, it was just like Spock said in one of the Star Trek movies, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. But wait a minute. Hold on.
Yes.
And, you know, of course, Spock sacrificed his life in that movie to disable some kind of thing that was malfunctioning, and he got radiation exposure, and it was killing him. And it was actually a gut-wrenching moment where Captain Kirk and he sort of said goodbye to each other. But you don't want that to happen. And first of all, second of all, you don't want somebody to be in a pilot moment where they die flying an aircraft with 200 people on board. You don't want those things to happen in the real world. See, and so the idea that these people are being forced to get vaccinations against their own better judgment is a wicked, wicked, evil thing. And of course, now in New York City, Mike, they have a new mayor. New Yorkers elected Eric Adams, who is a former policeman, to become the mayor. And he sounds like he's going to be a pretty reasonable guy. But the first thing people do as he walks out of his office in clip 10 is this. And I agree with the second guy. That's what I say. No, I mean, here are the people. I mean, they followed him down the street. He tried to walk out and, you know, meet with people. And what did they do? No, this the Maxine Vandate. That's a Freudian one. A Maxine Vandate is insane. It's insane. It's causing people to quit their jobs. It's shutting America down. Who would have thunk?
Yeah, and it's a big deal there in New York because apparently – you know, business owners are required to check your vaccine status before you get whatever services there. And so I could see a lot of people being concerned about that. People who don't want to take the vaccine, but also business owners who have lost half of their clientele on the basis that the other half is unvaccinated.
Well, here's one thing that's becoming quite clear. Clip 19, Van Jones actually makes sense for once. Go ahead.
I think that the Democrats are coming across in ways that we don't recognize that are annoying and offensive and seem out of touch in ways that I don't think show up in our feeds when we're looking at our kind of echo chamber.
You know, it reminds me of the saying, there are none so blind as those who will not see. That's what we got going on in an entire political party. They don't care. But at the same time, there are people who are putting their feet to the fire. In clip 11, Peter Ducey goes after Biden. Remember what they were going to do before there was a big stink raised about giving payments to children who were separated from their parents, $450,000 up to $1 million per family. Peter Ducey goes after Biden. Go ahead.
As you were leaving for your overseas trip, there were reports that were surfacing that your administration is planning to pay illegal immigrants who are separated from their families at the border up to $450,000 each, possibly $1 million per family. Do you think that that might incentivize more people to come over illegally?
If you guys keep sending that garbage out, yeah, but it's not true.
So this is a garbage report?
Yeah.
Okay.
$450,000 per person. Is that what you're saying?
That was separated from a family member at the border under the last administration.
That's not going to happen. We're going to win. I think we're going to win in Virginia.
See, he doesn't know where to stop, that guy. And it sounded to me like he never actually heard about it before. Like, what? What'd you say? We're going to pay $450,000? Well, no, that's not going to happen. Yeah, and we're going to win in Virginia. Yeah, it's not going to happen either. Sure. Sure, Biden, sure. Everything you say makes no sense at all. I mean, all you have to do is know that when you listen to the guy. JoJo the Dog-Faced Pony Soldier. Nothing that he says is true, and nothing makes sense. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed. Sometimes I think they float these things as a trial balloon to see what people will do. There's a thing that happened recently where they're theoretically going to tax unrealized capital gains.
Oh, I know. That's insane, too.
I tend to think that that was a trial balloon just to infuriate people about that, and so you'll be watching the left hand while the right hand's doing something nefarious.
Well, but you know what? I don't doubt that they're going to try to figure out how to look into everybody's bank account that makes $600 to $10,000. It's all happening, and once they talk about it and we forget about it, we go on to the next thing, and that's how we get distracted. Okay, you're right, Mike. Coming back with more Perilous World Radio, David at FHU.com. Mike Jones with me today.
We can only extinguish evil by acknowledging that it exists.
The president's actions clearly have escalated things in Seattle and across the country.
We can't rebuild our economy and meet this crime of crisis.
Stormtroopers going onto the streets of the United States.
The racism that runs through the party that is lifting up Tom Cotton.
This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking unruly.
Peaceful protest.
Peaceful protesters.
Peaceful protest.
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 Peaceful protesters.
Look, a lot of what's happening here, this is not peaceful. This is just violent and destructive.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
So, Dr. Harvey, I just wonder if we could address what white privilege is, because I think it's more subtle than many realize. How do you define it? How do you explain it to people?
White privilege is the situation where racism, as it impacts Black communities and Latinx communities, Asian American and Native American communities, white communities are not negatively impacted by racism, and sometimes we get unjust benefits and easier access to things just because we're white, not because we deserve it.
It's the right approach. What is the right approach?
One of the most important things that we need to acknowledge right now is that the most dangerous kind of white privilege is to think that we can sit this justice struggle out. This struggle won't be over in 2 weeks, and as communities of color, and especially African American communities, are leading the struggle for racial justice right now, white Americans need to get all in with them, both interrupting racism in our families, even if it's uncomfortable or causes conflict, but also supporting racial justice organizations in our neighborhoods, in our cities.
Good old CNN, back in June of last year. You don't think that this stuff is being peddled and pushed and shoved on us? Oh, yes, it is, Mike. It's being shoved on us. And by the way, just a reminder, in the bottom of the hour intro, we heard that idiot, Ali Velshi, I think is his name, on CNN or MSNBC, one or the other. They're all the same, talking about peaceful protests. Well, the father of the man killed in Seattle's Chaz, remember the Chaz?
Mm-hmm.
The autonomous zone? He's suing city officials for the death of his son, Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr., whose son Horace was shot and killed inside Seattle's Chaz, has sued the outgoing mayor and the socialist member of the city council who backed the protest. This is going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, you should be next to sue somebody. I'm just saying, get out there and go sue Happy on these freak jobs. Sue the hell out of them. And get your friends together in your neighborhood. There are people. Go door to door and say, look, I'm going to sue these scumbags, and I want your help. Would you just pitch in, be a part of this movement to sue the scumbags? STS, sue the scum. All right, your thoughts.
I think that the policies that were being pushed forward in the whole Chaz protest thing lost big time in areas where defunding the police was on the ballot. That just
lost big time in Minneapolis. Yeah,
right. And this is supposed to be where people theoretically wanted this.
It's a complete
repudiation.
No. It wasn't where people wanted it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, the headline reads: "School board candidates."
It is where
opposing,
the media portrayed listen, that they wanted it.
That's right. School board candidates opposing critical race theory win throughout Minnesota. It wasn't what the people ever wanted, but the people on the school boards and the people in the city governments were the ones who were all woke and wanted it, right?
Yep.
And it was proven that the people who were suffering as a result of the lack of police presence, they were never for it. And that's important. Yes. But I want to go back to another clip from the same time, June of last year, clip 26. I want you to hear what this monster says about white kids. Listen to this.
The important thing for white parents to keep in the front of our mind is that if black children in this country are not allowed innocence and childhood without fear of being killed by police or marginalized in some other way, then our children don't deserve innocence. If Tamir Rice can be shot dead in a public park playing with a toy gun, something white children do all over this country every day without the same fear of being shot, if Tamir Rice can be killed, then white children need to be told at least at the same age. If they can't be innocent, we don't get to be innocent. And if we would keep that in the front of our minds, then perhaps we would be able to hear what black and brown folks are telling us every day and have been for many years.
Oh, I like him. He's one of mine.
He's a
Who
race hustler.
Where did that come from? Jeez, yeah,
that's just
the presence
you know,
of
racial,
evil.
Racial politics. I hope that we can put an end to this in the next few years, just be completely done with it. Because, you know, the thing is, we've been being flogged with this for years now, but we've been, you know, they've stepped it up, double timed it, in the past 4 years since Trump got elected. Everything is about race. And I think that people have just been bludgeoned with this and they're sick of it. And I think it's about done. It makes me wonder what they'll turn to next.
Mm, you're right. What will they turn to next? I don't know. I don't think that they have anything to actually turn to, because how much lower can these people go? Really? How much lower? Now, yeah. I want to go back again to June of last year. This is Robin DeAngelis on her book, White Fragility. And I think that she's being interviewed by Joy Reid before she was recruited over to CNN for being so perfectly woke. Listen to clip 22.
White Fragility. That's the title of your book, is White Fragility. And the subtitle is Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. Why White Fragility? And how do we recognize it?
You know, the fragility part is meant to capture how little it takes to set white people off, to set us off into defensiveness. So for many white people, the mere suggestion that white has meaning will cause us to erupt in defensiveness. For many of your listeners, the fact that I'm generalizing right now about white people will set off the defensiveness. Individualism is a really precious ideology for white people, and we do not like to be generalized about. We need to make sure we're being fair and including other people, seems to set the white collective off.
You know, yes. I can't understand. I never understood what she was saying about individualism being a really important thing to white people. Mm-hmm. Why isn't individualism important to everybody? Right. I mean, who wants to be clumped and lumped into...
They're just trying to shame individualists into joining the collective and, you know, just communism for all, and we'll all be happy and you'll not be ridiculed anymore.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a saying, if you're only for yourself, what are you? But if you're not for yourself, who are you? I mean, you've got to be for yourself.
Yes,
of course. You know, you've got to be for yourself. You've got to be for your own belief systems. You've got to be for your family. You've got to be for the people that you agree with. If you're not, then you're actually not of any use to anybody. If you're just somebody that nods your head and goes along, what the hell's wrong with the idea of being an individual? To me, America was created by individuals, and I think that what they're really after is this idea that these amazing, insightful, educated. You go back to the time where of the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the founding of this country, the Constitution. These people were so eloquent with the words that they used. They used probably 10 times more words than the average person. The average person today only uses about 200 words. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yeah, the average person has a lexicon of, generally speaking, 200 words. That's deep they go. The founding fathers of this country were erudite. They were smart. They were spiritual. They didn't have the, what would you call it, mainstream beliefs about religion. Many of them were not particularly religious, but they were spiritual people, right?
Yes.
Hey, Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian, but he was a spiritual person. Go ahead.
There's a lot of debate about, you know, how religious they were, whatever. I don't think it really matters. They came up with a document that proves that they had an agreement on what was right. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, the whole idea of a united people is we're united in what we believe is right. And that's the divide in this country right now, because people embracing secularity have decided that they're going to be the arbiters of what is right and wrong, and not to and allow themselves to make that up for themselves and not conform to what we have all agreed to previously.
One nation under God. Something that they don't want people to even think. How corporate America has gotten involved with wokeism, one nation under woke. And that becomes the pledge that they want everybody to make Black Lives Matter. Well, of course they do. That's a stupid thing to say. And then when you say, well, all lives matter, then they get angry because it isn't quite the right pledge, you see. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Justice? Oh, what a bastardized word. What a sick thing that they did to a beautiful word. They perverted the word justice, social justice. What a bunch of nonsense. What a bunch of malarkey. These people are so evil. They don't want you to say one nation under God. They want you to say, oh, something else. Anything else. One nation under God. The Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That is what they don't want you to say. God help them. I put a curse on them. I curse you, you scum. If you don't love God and if you don't love America, get out. Go to the Soviet Union. Go to China. Vacation with Castro. All right. David Masters, Mike Jones. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. We'll be right back.
It's your first day at work and you meet a new colleague. You've never met this person before, yet you have a positive sense you can't quite explain. Perhaps you're visiting a place for the first time and there's a magnetic feeling guiding you toward your destination. This is what many describe as intuition, an unexpected sixth sense about a situation or person. Often, intuitions pass unnoticed but play a key role in our everyday lives. The concept of intuition is often wrapped in mystery. Is it an expansion of spirituality? Well, from a scientific perspective, it has to do with your higher self. In fact, intuition is the invisible bridge between our conscious and unconscious minds. It involves information that you're not conscious of, and highly intuitive people gain insight without a known logical or rational process. In Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress at FHU.com, you will learn to remain calm and patient in the face of extreme stress, confusion, and cruelty. Expand your intuition and discover your true identity. Read Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress, at FHU.com.
How would you like to support the work of Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding? Well, the best way to do that is to get a web subscription. A web subscription allows you to log in and get the best that the FHU has to offer online. Exclusive web subscription includes Advice Line radio program archive downloads, over 6 hours of video programs, over 20 popular audio programs valued at $200, New Insights newsletter PDF plus back issues, more than 40 insightful articles, special offers, discounts, and features. A yearly subscription is $120, and it's only $12 a month. Visit the website FHU.com and get your FHU web subscription today. That's FHU.com. If you've been helped by Roy Masters, please support him so that others might discover his message too. The web subscription is one way that you can do that. Again, visit FHU.com and order the FHU web subscription at FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. Here's your host.
Yes, there was a red wave of Republican wins across the Empire State. Did you know that, Mike? Even though their new mayor is a Democrat, I think he's pretty moderate. But the Republicans won all over New York State Tuesday night, swiftly defeating Democrat ballot propositions, winning major local elections, and turning on the red base. As the midterms are quickly approaching, there is hope. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. School board candidates opposing critical race theory win throughout Minnesota. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Supreme Court likely to hold New York laws violate Second Amendment. Yes, that's right. If you want to own a gun in New York, it's been forbidden. And now the Supreme Court seems that they're about to overturn that. No one should have to actually prove why they need to own a gun. It is in the Second Amendment. All right. And, of course, the red wave is building. I got two more of Robin DeAngelis, and this is what you're about to put to rest, ladies and gentlemen. This insane person who's made millions and millions of dollars telling white people how stupid they are and how weak they are, this person, hopefully, is going to be living in a tent or a car somewhere. Listen to this clip, 23.
Things that you saw in these workshops that led you to this theory.
It's a lot like water dripping on a rock, right? I didn't get it the first, second, third, but it's so consistent and so patterned that it's like a script. And after a while, you can just stand there and say, I can predict what this white person is going to say right now. And sure enough, they say it. So I was taught to treat everyone the same. The evidence that white people give for their lack of racism is very revealing to what we think racism is. And everything I do is to try to get us off the surface, which is all this all these narratives.
You said you don't want white people to feel guilty, which is exactly what I think some people listening to our conversation will feel. So why do you say you don't want white people to feel guilty?
Well, because it's you didn't choose your socialization. You didn't choose your conditioning. You were born into a society that set you up in these ways.
Oh, see the double entendre there? You were set up. You can't help it. But it doesn't mean you're not a racist.
Yeah, that's right.
You were conditioned from the time you were born. You can't help it, but you're still a racist.
But you're a bad person anyway.
But you're a bad person anyway, right? And I got to tell you something. Anybody that would allow themselves to be identified by somebody like Robin DiAngelo, who says that you're a racist, is not only insane, but they've missed the whole point of life itself, that you are not supposed to let people tell you who you are. Okay?
Right.
It might be okay for them to tell you who you are not, right? You know, criticism sometimes, constructive criticism can be the most important thing in a person's life. Okay. But if for somebody to come along and tell you that you're a racist and for you to accept it, that means you're crazy.
Okay. Yeah, she could be a racist. She's a grifter. She's a grifter. Listen, she's just trying to make money off of what she sees as a trend, and she's trying to position herself.
Oh, no, she's not trying. She did it. She accomplished it. She's a millionaire.
Right. No, you're right about that. But she's trying to position herself because she thinks that ultimate woke power is in the offing, and she wants to be sitting at the right hand of the dictator.
Oh, yes. She's the high priestess of that religion. Yeah. Let's go to the next clip. Go ahead.
I see Trump as a reaction to Obama because Trump gave permission to the resentment that was roiling under the surface.
Resentment of what?
Of black advancement, of black uppityness, of, to use a Jim Crow analogy, you will step off the curb when I come down it. You will not look me in the eye. His racism is explicit and undeniable, and that wasn't a deterrent, I think white people have to look really hard at. Why was that not a deterrent to you?
Robin DiAngelo, thank you.
She says that, and again, she made it about Trump, which also made her a hero in the eyes of the haters. Trump gave permission to the anger that was roiling under the surface. What? Trump was probably, you know, black people benefited more under Trump than any other time in American history. That's just the truth. That's just a statistic. But if you say he gave permission to anger and the frustration that was roiling under the surface toward black advancement, lady, you're nuts. You're crazy. Put her in an institution. Let her talk to the other inmates.
Will they still be running against Trump in the
of course they will.
Leading up to 2022?
Of course they will. They've got nothing to run on but Trump. They're still doing it the day after they got their butts kicked. They're still doing it. Nicole Wallace, still doing it. Breonna Keeler, still doing it. Everybody, CNN, MSNBC, they're all doing it.
Apparently
they're all attacking Trump. Where was Trump? He was behind the scenes.
More addictive than fentanyl, apparently.
I think you're right. I think the justification aspect of it is addictive, and it's because, and I said it before, it's like nicotine. Even though you know that you could get cancer from it, it still compels you for whatever pleasure or satisfaction or relief you get from it. They get a relief from the truth of their own mindless, stupid selves. When they think Trump, they feel better. It's like, oh, yeah, let me take another puff. Oh, I feel so much better, man. Oh, God, that Trump. QAnon, thank you, QAnon, for whatever you did. I don't know who you are. I know who Trump is. Trump is behind the scenes. He's the new Q. Mr. T, behind the scenes. All he has to do is be there, and he's a force to be reckoned with. He doesn't have to. He's never going to go away. Never. He's always going to be in the back of those sick people's minds. They have nightmares about him. They fear him in the dark. I love it. All right, Mike Jones, thanks for being my guest hostess today.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow, we got more, and we will go there. Because we do. That's what we do on this program. We go there. David at FHU.com. The book, The Hypnotic States of America. If you read it, you'll understand the left. FHU.com. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio. There's meltdown in the sky. If you can judge a wise man by the color of his skin, a mystic.